You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Okay. Well, Father, I just thank you. I thank you for every single person that is watching this broadcast. I thank you for the folks that'll be listening to it on the podcast. I thank you, Father, that we are all one. And that is the glory of the new creation. And I thank you, Father, that we are not just one with one another, but we are one with you. That you, Jesus, are the cohesive substance that's holding everything together, including us. And I thank you, Father, that you experience all of us simultaneously at the same time. And from the inside, I thank you that you know every single thing about us. You know the number of hairs on our head. You know every thought. You know the words before we speak. You understand us completely. And you know how we learn. You know how we receive. You know how to communicate in the paradigm that we are living in. And then you know how to break us out of it. And it is a powerful thing that you do, Holy Spirit, in our lives. You lead and guide us into all truth. And you even show us the future. I mean, how awesome are you? And so we just acknowledge you. You said not to lean on our own understanding, but just to acknowledge you in all of our ways and that you would direct our paths. And so that's what we are leaning into this morning. We say lead the path through the word of the month this month. And give us your understanding. Give us your wisdom. Give us your revelation, Holy Spirit. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding and help us step into the fullness of our calling and the fullness of new creation reality and the fullness of Jesus's completed work. We just say yes. We say yes and we offer ourselves as living sacrifices. That's our part. And we expect the best, Lord, because you work all things together for good, and you have already lavished upon us everything that heaven contains. And so that's a reasonable expectation. So I just bless our time together today. I bless this broadcast. I just say, think through my mind, speak through my lips, and make it clear and relevant and help everyone apply it to wherever they are in their journey with you. And I just bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys. Well, it is good to be with you again. For those of you that have been wondering where I am, I get comments like that every once in a while. You know, I stepped back into doing this monthly prophetic broadcast again back in December. So I am not doing a weekly broadcast, but I am doing these monthly ones at the moment. And so not sure when or if I'll step back into a weekly rhythm, but this is what you got. And this is what I've got for you at the moment. So what we are going to do today to kind of set the stage for what I really feel like that we're stepping into in February is I need to rewind. I need to rewind back to the January of 2024 and then step us into where we are today. And the reason that I do this, I'm always bringing context to the things that I'm sharing with you is because, you know, really, that is a massive benefit and a massive, I would say, goal of prophecy. It's to help us grab context for what God is doing in our lives. I will also say this about prophecy. If I ever say anything that doesn't land for you, well, then you know what? You just put it on the shelf or you just say, hey, I don't receive that. You know, we've had a lot of light shined in the last month over the prophetic with the things that are going on with Sean Bowles and Bethel. And I don't know if you're connected to all of that, but you know, I just wanted to put a little bit out there that the way that you receive prophecy is that you put that through your own discernment and your own relationship with God. And you let the Holy Spirit bear witness with your spirit and what is applicable to you. I think that's a really important safety protocol around the prophetic. And so I just thought I would share that right here up front. At the end of the day, you hearing from God for yourself is the primary function of a prophet. It's the primary function of the prophetic. It's one of the fivefold ministry gifts. And the grace that is on a prophet's life is to make you prophetic. It is for you to have activated spiritual senses so that you can experience God for yourself. And so that is always my goal. I will also say that in the context of my prophetic gift, I am always rooting and centering everything in our union with God and the finished work of Jesus through his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension, and our complete co-association with him. So what you're going to hear from me in my prophetic words and in my prophetic gifts are always going to be pointing us back to the reality of the new creation as a always is right now reality, true reality, and that your union with Jesus is always present, always now, regardless if you're experiencing it. So anyway, little disclaimer, little bit explanation before we hop into this month's word. So like I said, I want to go back to January of 2024 just to give context to where we are today. So back in January of 24, right, the word for the year was basically the way that I want to manifest myself, self talking from Yahweh, talking from Papa, the way that I want to manifest myself through you as you is mind blowing, right? And so there was this stepping into this participation of union from a place where we were moving as him, with him, he was moving as us, with us, that there was the fruit that God wanted to see produce in our lives that came from us abiding, but it also stepped into what I now am referring to as participatory consciousness or participatory observation or perception, which means that we are so filled and so one with Jesus in our experience that we are now participating in our perceptional capacity, and we are participating in our revelatory capacity and in what we are observing through the mind of God, through the vision, through the perception of God, through the consciousness of God, through the mind of Christ. And so that was where we kicked off in January of 2024. And then when we stepped into 2025, God called this the year of we, which obviously is a beautiful word, we, because it really does focus in on the concept of participation with the Trinity, participation with the mind of God, participation with everything that Jesus has done in his burial, his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. Like, we are co-participating in the life of God. We are co-participating in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are co-participating in the communion of the Trinity as one. And the same way the Trinity relates to one another, you know, distinct yet also one, is the same way the body of Christ relates to one another and to God. There is a distinction here, but there is also a union. And this is the mystery. This is the mystery of Christ being unveiled to us and through us. So we stepped into January as the year of we. And I did a broadcast on that back in January. And then I took some time in January to actually type out an official prophetic word from God. I always share those in the form of a love note. And so in case you hadn't seen that, I really didn't publish it widely or announce that I had published it widely until today. But on Shalise.com, underneath the blog, there is a written out love note for 2026 about the year of we. And so I wanted to share that today. I'm actually going to take some time and read through that on the broadcast today because it is jam-packed with revelation and it really gives context to really what I believe we're going to be walking through all year. But because of that, gives context to where I believe we are in Chronos time in the February calendar in 2026. So that's where I'm going to kick off today. I'm going to kick off by reading the written love note that I took the time to go ahead and write out for you guys and hear from God and put into writing form the things that I was speaking about in the January broadcast. Okay, so here's how it goes. By the way, the January broadcast is on the podcast, so you can go to any of the podcast platforms, search on Shalise, and you'll find the word from January if you want to go back and revisit that. Okay, so here we go. Beloved, as we step into 2026, I want to make something unmistakably clear about what is already unfolding. Now, I should have said that I'm going to pause as I'm reading these things and just highlight some of the particulars of what I'm sharing here, because I want to unpack a little bit more about that. So let me start again. As we step into 2026, I want to make something unmistakably clear about what is already unfolding. So I highlighted about the phrase about what is already unfolding, because this is not about, not just about something that is coming. This is about what God is already doing, what is already unfolding in our lives. This word is all about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives individually and in our lives collectively, within the body of Christ, but also across the globe. And so the idea that this is already unfolding is, I want to highlight that, because that's very different than something that we have to work into or something that we have to cause to come to pass, right? This is really an insight into what God is already doing in us and what God is actually accomplishing collectively. Okay. And then it says, this is the year of we. And it says, there is an awakening happening now. Okay. This isn't talking about a future revival that's coming. Okay. Awakening is the language of the era that we are living in, the age that we are living in. Awakening is what's going on here. And this is very different than what we might have thought in the past is like a move of God as revival. I'm not going to unpack it more than that, but I just want to tell you, awakening is different than like a specific move of God in a particular geographic location. Okay, this is a global awakening that is unfolding right now. It says there's an awakening happening now, globally, collectively, and personally, at a level deeper than thought or belief. This awakening goes beyond mere spiritual insight or revelation. It is an operating system shift, a reorientation of how reality itself is perceived and participated in. Okay, I'm going to read that one more time. This is an operating system shift, a reorientation of how reality itself is perceived and participated in. And then he says, I am recalibrating your perception. Okay, that's a very, very powerful statement. Why? Because perception is how we perceive reality. And if our perception is clouded, or we're seeing through the wrong lenses, then we cannot perceive reality accurately. And reality includes, obviously, material reality, but it includes spiritual reality. It includes what I would call ontological reality, which means what is real, real, real across the dimensions. All right. So reality, the concept of reality, is a really big idea in the sense of what is real, what is reality. And so a recalibration of our perception and is important if we're going to actually participate in reality. Okay. Then it says, for too long, my children have been living in to me, by me, and through me consciousness under the illusion of separation. Okay. I am not going to do a full-blown teaching right now on this the four orientations of consciousness, meaning to me consciousness, by me consciousness, through me consciousness, and as me consciousness. I've taught on those things previously in my podcast, but just know this, that to me consciousness is really where you're operating in separation from God, and life is happening to you. You are under circumstances and you feel very victimized, like you are at the mercy of your life and the mercy of circumstances, very powerless. By me means that it's all up to me. Like I'm the thing that moves life. Like what I do determines what is going on in the material realm, what is going on in my life. And so there's a lot of effort and striving and performance also separated from God. And through me consciousness, this is where you are more entering into communion with God, where you have a relationship. I mean, you can still have a relationship with God into me and by me, by the way. So that's not a good differentiator. But through me is more where you realize that God is moving through me. I am with God. I am participating with God to the extent that I'm yielded, would be the way that I might summarize that. Okay, so let me, and then as me consciousness is what really what we were pointing to in the prophetic word for 2024 is where we, what we're waking up to. We are waking up to union to such a degree that the personal I becomes Christ to such a degree that separation is completely dissolved. So in the context of this word, he says, for far too long, my children have been operating and living under the illusion of separation. And it's striving, managing, performing, trying to partner with me, trying to get me to answer prayers, to move on their behalf, to help them become something that they already are. It says, I'm exposing and healing the illusion of separation at a deeper and more accelerated rate. Okay, so at a deeper level and a more accelerated rate. This is a key. Not just in the obvious places, okay, like in our theology, for example, but the hidden ones. The places where separation has governed your perception, decision-making, movement, and response in your bodies, your nervous systems, and the way that you move through each day without being recognized at all. So what I would say about that is God is revealing the illusion of separation and healing the illusion of separation at a level that is below our conscious awareness. Okay, so this is subconscious separation. Okay, this is the way that separation has been embodied in our nervous systems. This is the way separation is driving us unaware. This gets down to the level of motivations. It gets down to the level of triggers. It gets down to the level of how our nervous system gets activated and safety is perceived. It gets down to the level of how we project onto other people. Like, this is subconscious, unconscious, and programmed, frankly, into our physiology. And so God is coming after that illusion and healing that illusion at the deepest levels of our psyche, at the deepest levels of our incarnational existence. And that is what Papa is up to globally and individually and across the body of Christ in this hour. There's a lot I could say about that regarding current events in politics, current events in institutions and current events culturally, or again, in the body of Christ. But when you have a lens for what Papa is doing, it does start to give context to why it seems like the light is shining, things are getting exposed, systems are shaking. It is very much, you know, anything that can be shaken, anything that is founded on the illusion of separation is up for being exposed by the light. And when I say exposed by the light, I don't mean like always publicly, but I do mean that the light shining in our hearts, light shining in like on the road that Paul was on the road to Damascus, right? And just like waking people up, the kind of light that wakes you up is the kind of exposure that I'm talking about here. It says, I am exposing and healing the illusion of separation at a deeper and more accelerated rate, okay? That's what we're talking about. It says the deception, this is a very powerful line, the deception of separation is the foundation of all deception. Whew. The deception of separation is the foundation of all deception, and I'm pulling it up by the roots. I'm aligning the places you didn't know were misaligned. So it's like the blind spots are coming into view. And let me just stop here for a moment and just kind of speak pastorally to everyone, because this is not always comfortable. Okay, this is not comfortable relationally. This is not comfortable many times in every domain of our existence. Okay, it's not comfortable when we have blind spots financially, it's not comfortable. When we have blind spots theologically, it's not comfortable. When we blind spots coming into view, they ultimately are very comforting in the sense that it's an opportunity to see what you couldn't see before and step out of deception and step out of delusion and have more self-awareness and walk in more truth. So the fruit of it is glorious, but it can be very uncomfortable. So, you know, if you have lots of, what would I say? If you have circumstances that are surfacing in your life that are uncomfortable or unpleasant or seem like an attack or seem like a contradiction, the reason that this word can help you is because it gives context to this without you feeling powerless and feeling victimized. Rather, you can take the stance that, wait a minute, I am participating in an awakening. I am participating in the unfolding of a move of God in my life, and this is for me. This is for my good. This is for my transfiguration. This is for the embodiment of my calling at an identity level. So there is very powerful things that and fruit that is being worked out in our lives as we step into the light with God. It says the awakening is reaching into your subconscious, your nervous system, and the perceptual lenses through which life has been interpreted. The mind of Christ is coming online in you. And, you know, we have the mind of Christ. We possess Christ's perceptions. But how do you know? You know that we can possess these things and still be unaware of these things, right? This is the difference between the gospel being true and me being aware of what the gospel is and it now becoming functional and experiential in my life. Right? Just because something is true doesn't mean that I'm experiencing that truth in my life and in every area of my life, you know? So it says, this is why many of you have felt disoriented. This is why the old ways no longer work. This is why effort might feel exhausting and striving feels empty. You're not failing, you're being recalibrated. The year of we, excuse me, is the restoration of participatory life with the Trinity. Now, when I say restoration, I don't mean that Jesus didn't already accomplish this, right? This is about you being restored. This is about you, the sozo and salvation of Jesus, being worked out incarnationally in your life and in your relationship with God. So this is a life, capital L, is participating in life, capital L, which is Christ. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so this is about participating in Jesus's resurrection life at an experiential level, at a physical level, at a material level, all right? This is about the word and the truth becoming flesh in us. So it says Jesus did not live from separation. He lived from shared perception. Jesus lived with shared perception. He only did what he saw the Father doing. He spoke what he heard the Father speaking. His will and the Father's will were one. He perceived, judged, and moved from union. This was not independent obedience as effort. This was we consciousness in incarnational form. Okay, we consciousness, as me consciousness, we consciousness in incarnational form. What you have admired in Jesus, I am now establishing in you. This way of being was not exclusive to him. Through his death, resurrection, and ascension, it has become the participatory pattern of the new creation, human experience. Okay, so this is not about you having right theology. This is not just about, okay, you having right knowledge or you having right information, right? This is about also the way that that translates into the actual way that you exist and the way that you are being and the way that you are showing up in the world and the way that you are participating in life and the way that you are participating in reality, the reality of the new creation. It says, we means you are not separate from me. And I would say never separated from me. You are not working your way into union. You already are participating in it. Christ in you is you. My life is your life. My resurrection is your resurrection. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And that Spirit, what Spirit? Holy Spirit, the Spirit that lives in you, is dismantling every operating system built on the lie of separation. You know, operating systems are built on codes, or is built on source code. And, you know, all of us subconsciously have encoded safety protocols, meaning meanings around what is safe, what is not safe. We have a meaning around a code, if you will, and meaning around pretty much everything that has a construct. So whether that's money, whether that's authority, whether that is parenting, whether that is physical health. I mean, there are protocols, there's literal operating systems that we're functioning at, mostly at an unrenewed mind level, that Holy Spirit is already knows, already is in, and is in the process of dismantling and replacing. It's like a computer upgrade in a sense. It's a reboot of your operating system into the new creation human experience. And so hopefully this language is making sense to you, because language is always one of those things that, you know, in communication can get cross-fired, because what one word means something to me, it means something else to you. So I'm just prayerful that you're going to be hearing this in a way that lands for you. It says, this year I am rebooting your operating system. I'm preaching what I'm saying before I know I'm saying it, right? From pressure to alignment, from driven to led, from survival to rest, from striving to abiding, from separation consciousness to resurrection consciousness. I'm not teaching you how to partner with me. I'm awakening you to the fact that you already live in me. This 2026 is about embodiment, not just belief. You've known about union in your theology. Now I'm making it material reality in your cells, in your DNA, in your physical body. This gospel was always meant to be incarnational, the word made flesh, not just in Jesus 2,000 years ago, but in you right now. The resurrection frequency is online. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you now. And I am awakening you to live from that frequency, in that frequency, not as something you strive for, but as something you already carry. What you observe and focus on materializes. Where your attention goes, your energy flows and reality responds. That's why I'm recalibrating your perception. You have been observing yourself through the lens of separation, decay, limitation, and mortality. But when you see yourself as I see you, when you observe yourself as a resurrected human being, as a risen one, your physical body begins to respond. The cells in your DNA respond. The material realm responds. I am teaching you to observe yourself through my eyes as a risen one, carrying indestructible life, operating in resurrection power right now. Not after you die, now. What you have admired in Jesus, his resurrected life, his victory over death, his glory is not separated from you. It's not separate from you. It is you. And as you begin to observe and recognize this reality, everything shifts. As this shared perception awakens, reality itself begins to respond, not through manifestation techniques or faith-filled principles, but through awareness that is no longer rooted in separation. Creation already recognizes you as Christ. In this coming year, it's your turn to recognize you. As my Spirit accomplishes this in you, you will notice things changing without trying to change them. Doors opening and closing without effort. Time itself will feel different. You are being brought into Kairos living, hey, where your movement is governed by our shared desire and heart alignment rather than external pressure. This is the year of living as me, not just for me. The lines are blurring. between my I am and your I am. This isn't blasphemy. This is the fullness of what I intended when I said, as Jesus is, so are you in this world. You will learn to live in the unforced rhythms of grace, in the grace of just one day. You will be led by my spirit, moment by moment, not driven by deadlines, pressure, or the material realm. And you will stop trying to make anything happen. You will watch what happens as you see with me. The year of we will feel more simple. It will feel more quiet. It will feel less driven, but it will be powerful. You will know it because the old ways no longer compel you. Striving loses its grip. Discernment replaces decision fatigue, and movement becomes natural again. We're on the home stretch, you guys. Thank you for your patience. I'm trusting that this is just as powerful for you as it's been for me as I read through it. The year of we means that you're not doing anything alone. But this isn't just about your union with me. This is also about you recognizing your union with everyone. Jesus prayed that we would be one, just as he and I are one, so that the world would know my love, and that my love for the world, for everyone in the world, and my love for the world, for everyone in the world, will be felt at such a deep level this year that you will no longer be compelled by anything other than love. I don't know about you, but that is just beautiful. And I'm so excited. The love, power, and reconciliation the world desperately needs will be released through our collective embodied unity in powerful ways this year. Yes, Lord. And you will recognize that my body is moving and expressing my glory in the earth in a million different ways in every moment. This is not revival as an event. This is union remembered. This is not about something that's coming. This is about me revealing myself in you, in all, through all. You're not late. You're not behind. Oh, hallelujah. You are exactly where you're supposed to be in this moment, in this worldwide awakening, and in this move of we. The only thing I'm inviting you to do this year is to relax. For some of us, that's not an easy thing. Stop trying so hard. Stop trying to become what you already are. Stop managing what I'm leading. Stop worrying about anything. There's nothing to worry about when you're already one with me. Together, we'll arise in the fullness of your union with me, and you'll step into each day as an awakened, risen one. We'll walk through each and every day together as one. We'll work together, play together, rest together, and create glorious things together. You'll be the manifested answer to Jesus's prayer in John 17. You will live in me as I live in you, and it will transform everything because this is the year of we. Kisses from heaven within us, Dad. All right, you guys. So I wanted to take some time to read through the full prophetic word in its written form for 2026. And I wanted to point you over to shalise.com, to the blog, so that you can print that out and you can begin meditating on that and really praying through that and letting what is unfolding and how it is unfolding become clear for you. For me personally, this has very much been a contextual word, right? I very much function in the prophetic in my own life and in the tribe and in the communities that I lead from a contextual standpoint. Context is what? It is the frame that you can make meaning out of what is going on in your life. And so to the extent that this frame helps you understand what is happening in your own life and increases your intimacy with God and moves you into revelation, then it becomes a tool. It becomes a living word. It becomes rhema for you. And if that frame is not helpful for you, well, guess what? You have permission to not use it and you have permission to set it aside. So really, this is you operating in your distinction within the body of Christ. And this is one of the reasons why we feel drawn to particular gifts and we feel repelled by other gifts, right? Because the Holy Spirit knows how to feed us the daily bread that we need. So as we move into February, I have a word that I have become obsessed with in the last several weeks that I really felt like God was breathing on for February. And it comes, there's a couple of different places in scripture that specifically in the Mirror Translation, because that is a beautiful translation of the Bible, in my opinion. It's not a translation as much as it is a study translation, a paraphrase in a sense, but it does refer back to the original language, and it does extrapolate the original language into the interpretation that Francois Dutoit has put together. And it brings out the beauty of union, and it brings out dimensions within the original Greek that are lost many times in other translations. So in Colossians 3:1, I'm about to give you the word, but I want to read the scripture first. It says, "See yourselves co-raised with Christ." Okay, this is that sentence. I just want to stop there because it goes right along with the things that Papa was speaking over 2026. It's about perception. It's about perceiving yourself as a risen one. It's about stepping into the reality that the resurrection of Jesus is not just a theological resurrection. Okay, there was something that happened in the resurrection that is very, very, very relevant for us today in our incarnation. Okay, the reality of the resurrection is more than just a, I said that, more than a theology. It is a reality. So seeing yourself co-raised with Christ means the perception of yourself as a resurrected human being now. Okay, I talked about that in the teaching in January, and I talked about how the Apostle Paul, this was his quest to understand the power of the resurrection. In Philippians 4, he talks about how, not that he has already obtained this idea of resurrection ontology, that he has already attained the fullness of the resurrection in his physical body as a reality, but this was the one thing that he was pressing toward, that he was moving into. He said, "This is my obsession, to know him and the power of his resurrection, because when I know him, I know myself. And when I understand the power of the resurrection, I understand the power that is present in me right now." And so when we are seeing ourselves and perceiving ourselves as co-raised with Christ, this is a powerful activity. In fact, Francois then goes on to translate this and says, "Now ponder with persuasion the consequence of your co-inclusion with him." Which brings me to the word for February, which is this word ponder. Okay, I'm going to come back to that word, but here in Francois's translation, it says, "Ponder with persuasion the consequence of your co-inclusion in Jesus." Okay, this co-inclusion with Jesus is worth pondering. It absolutely is a perceptional, it's an activity that involves your perception. It's the way that you see. It's the way that you process. It's the way that revelation comes to you. And through pondering, through meditating, through learning, through studying, through thinking about, through leaning into and becoming curious about with the Holy Spirit and engaging in the thinking process and the revelatory process with the Holy Spirit, we are shifting our perception. I mean, it goes right along with what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4 when he said, "Think on these things which are lovely, which are of good report," right? Think on these things. And so here it's about setting your mind on things above. But in Francois's translation, it says ponder with persuasion, become fully convinced like Abraham did. Right? You know, not considering the deadness of Sarah's womb and not considering the impotence of his own body. He was fully persuaded with in his case, the prophecy over God's, over his life, when God called him the father of many nations. But in this context, it's pondering and becoming fully persuaded of what is the consequence of our total inclusion, our total immersion, our total entanglement with Christ, this glorious entanglement that Jesus accomplished for us, as us, this union, this mystery. Ponder it, but don't just ponder it from the place of, oh, it's the finished work theology. This is who I am in Christ. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm redeemed. All these things that we've pondered. But no, this is about a specific kind of pondering. This is pondering resurrection reality. This is pondering the reality that there is something beyond just resurrection that happens after we die. There's something beyond resurrection as a theology. If the very same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us, then resurrection life is resident in us. And it is resonating within us to the extent that we do have a subconscious agreement, that we do have a perceptual agreement with this. You know, I talk sometimes about, you know, people like John G. Lake, who were operating in a revelation to the degree that, you know, they could walk into a village in Africa that was suffering a plague, and someone could take the, you know, John G. Lake saliva, put it in a Petri dish, put some of the, you know, germs or bacteria or virus or whatever that plague was, and it would literally dissolve. His saliva would dissolve the disease. And so you have to think to your, I mean, I know in maybe traditional charismatic thinking, you know, we would be like, wow, he was anointed. He was anointed by God, and he operated in the gifts of healing through this anointing that he possessed. And I would just beg to differ and say, no, he was operating in a revelation of Christ as the resurrected one walking around as him. And that is the power of pondering the with persuasion the consequence of your co-inclusion in the resurrection of Jesus. It says this: relocate yourself mentally. Engage your thoughts with throne room with realities. I would also say with new creation reality, where you are co-seated and governing with Christ, governing in the executive authority of God's right hand. And so this is a very, very powerful scripture and translation, but it's also a powerful word to ponder. And so my invitation to you in the month of February is to go deeper in your pondering of resurrection reality. Go deeper in your pondering of the new creation. Go deeper in your pondering of the reality that was released or revealed through the resurrection of Christ. I mean, the resurrection itself, come on, it established in a completely different reality materially, incarnationally, in the timeline of human history. And that reality and Christ as the substance of all things is a reality right now. And so what does that actually mean? With curiosity, what does the conclusion of those thoughts actually lead you to? What is the conclusion of the resurrection of Jesus? What is the conclusion of the timeline over history where the incarnation took place? It's pondering the gospel, and it's pondering it as an identity. It's pondering it as an ontology. It's pondering it at the foundational elements of what reality and existence actually is. And as we ponder together and reason together with God, and we think on these things, there is a powerful, powerful thing that happens. Let me just come down a little bit lower in the chapter of Colossians chapter 3. And I want to take it from the Passion Translation just because it's super clear. And let's go there. Let's go down to I'm in the King James Version. I'm like, that's not what I want. Let me look at this. The Passion Translation. Okay, let me just read this to you in the Passion Translation. It says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Okay. And it says, this is why we are to yearn for all that is above. So it's a different translation than what Francois gives. He uses the word yearn, which to me kind of feels like striving versus ponder. Ponder feels more like curiosity. It feels more invitational. Yearning feels like it's something that we don't have. Like I got to yearn for the things that are above rather than I just need to ponder the things that are above. The things that are above also sometimes to me indicates some kind of separation versus the way that Francois translates it is more accurate in the sense that we are, it's a reality we're already living in, that the conclusion of our co-inclusion in Christ means that we're already in new creation reality. We're already in union with God. So translations matter. Greek words matter. The tense of a Greek word matters. The words that people choose when they're translating scripture matter. And those are some things to ponder. Let's see. I'm going to skip down through this. I'll just keep reading. I'm sorry. Let's do that. This is why we're to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. So there's beautiful things to ponder about this translation and what it highlights. In verse 2, it says, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm of the new creation. Wow. And fill your thoughts with heavenly realities, with new creation with realities, with resurrection with realities, with union with God realities, and not with the distractions of the natural realm. You guys, this is a powerful thing to ponder these realities rather than to be distracted by material reality. Because when we ponder these things and we embody these things, well, guess what? We govern these things. So it says your crucifixion with Christ, verse 3, has severed the tie to this life. Wow. And now your true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. True life, true reality. True reality is hidden in the sense that it has to be perceived. It has to be, it's not material. You can't just use your physical eyes and go see it, right? It's hidden from human reasoning and human understanding to the degree that we haven't pondered it into our reasoning and into our understanding and have a revelation of it. And it says this in verse 4, and as Christ, this is the key point, and as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. So this is the power of pondering. This is the power gazing upon, right? I mean, it talks about that we are transfigured as we gaze upon him. Why? Because as we see him, we see ourselves. As we ponder the resurrection, well, we're pondering our resurrection. As we're pondering the fullness of what Jesus has accomplished, well, what the fullness of what Jesus has accomplished is accomplished in us. And the way that we ponder this is as unique as each of us are. So there's not maybe a correct way to ponder, an incorrect way to ponder. It's just think on these things, meditate on these things, ponder on these things, explore these things, be curious about these things, ask questions about these things, learn, Jesus would said, of me, learn of me, learn. Holy Spirit is our teacher. Holy Spirit is the revelator. Holy Spirit is the one that takes what belongs to Christ and discloses to us as us. So there is this beautiful, beautiful invitation in February is to enter into this pondering, enter into this gazing. Because as we see reality for what it really is, reality is revealed in us. Reality is manifested in us. We are transfigured. We are transfigured through this pondering. We are transfigured through the knowledge of him. We are transfigured through the understanding of new creation reality and resurrection reality. And I believe that Paul was a ponderer. I believe that his quest was to understand these things. I believe that he communed with truth as a person, Jesus, but also with truth as it's revealed, as it's revealed as reality. He communed with reality. He communed with the wonders of his person, it says in Philippians chapter 4. I've been referring to that. So why don't we wrap up with that? And the Amplified Version is the one I really love in Philippians 4. And it says this, the Amplified Classic Version. I need to breathe. Man, I'm going. Philippians 4. It says this. In verse 13, no, This is Philippians 4. I meant to go to Philippians 3. Let me go there. Philippians 3. It says this in verse 10. This is a great example of pondering. And this is Amplified Classic. The Apostle Paul says, "For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly." So to me, that's a beautiful amplification of the Greek word know, which is translated into English as know, which is the Greek word gnosko, which to me is a form of that he's talking also here about pondering. It says here that I may progressively become, that I will know him, right? This is the definition of gnosko. It's an intimate knowing. And an intimate knowing includes pondering. An intimate knowing includes exploring. It says that I would progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. How? Through perceiving and recognizing and understanding all parts of pondering, in my opinion, the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And then he says, and that in the same way I might come to know, I might come to gnosko. What way? Progressively, more deeply, intimately acquainted, perceiving, recognizing, and understanding the resurrection as well. He says that I might come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. Oh my gosh, his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share in his sufferings. I was talking about Abraham a little bit ago, so maybe that was just a Freudian slip. If you didn't catch it, that's okay. You can get it on the replay. It says, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even unto his death. I'm going to stop here for a moment because he's not talking about suffering with Jesus. He's talking about experiencing co-crucifixion, the suffering of Jesus through the crucifixion, and what is the power of the crucifixion, and what is the power of what Jesus suffered as us? What was the suffering of Jesus coming down into our delusion, coming down into the darkness, bearing sin, bearing sickness, you know, all of those things, like that suffering, there's a co-inclusion in that, and it means something for us. And Paul was obsessed with it. And he says, so that I can be transformed, so that I can be transfigured into his death. And then he says in verse 11, that if possible, I might attain, Amplified says spiritual moral resurrection. But I want to say that there's also more to that from a physical perspective, that I might possibly be able to attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while I'm in the body. So he's not excluding the body here. He's talking about resurrection power, functioning as the operating system of his body versus survival versus death versus entropy versus decay, right? And we know that the Apostle Paul walked in victory over death. I mean, he had a snake bite him and he just shook it off like it was nothing. That survival mechanisms that run most of us in the fear of death, the Apostle Paul was operating at a completely different level. And I believe it's because he was gnoskoing the gospel. He was seeing himself raised as Christ. He was pondering the conclusion of his co-inclusion in Christ. And, you know, this is a powerful practice, pondering and gnoskoing. I know I'm kind of butchering the Greek word, but you're getting my meaning, hopefully, here. And then he says in verse 12, not that I've already attained it, not that I've already attained this ideal, not that I've already been made perfect, not that the fullness of the reality of Jesus Christ is fully manifested in me yet. He says, that I've already been made perfect in every dimension, in every possible way. He says, but I press on to lay hold of and grasp and make my own that for which Christ Jesus, the Messiah, has laid hold of me and made me his own. In other words, he was not going to be content to leave anything on the table. He was not going to be content to live a life that was less than the life of a risen one, that was less than the life, capital L, of Jesus Christ. Then if Jesus said, I am the life and I am the resurrection, then I'm going to experience life in its fullness, life till it overflows, resurrection power in its fullness, resurrection power until it overflows. And we know that the life of the Apostle Paul reflects that pondering, reflects that revelation. And I believe that as we continue together, we as a body of Christ, we as a collective, we continue to ponder this reality, well, the exact same fruit can be expected and the exact same experiences can be expected and the exact same reversal of decay and reversal of survival programs in our bodies can be expected. And that to me is worth pondering. It's worth pondering. And so this isn't something that we're doing from a striving. This isn't something that we're doing. I mean, the whole thing that Papa said was like, relax, right? So this is an invitation. This is an invitation in the month of February. This is what Papa is doing is already unfolding. And I just think this is participation. I think this is participation in perception. I think this is us exercising participatory perception and perceiving Christ as us, perceiving the conclusion of what the resurrection accomplished inside of time, the new creation reality that is now, always now, and the ramifications of these revelations, the ramifications of what, and drawing it to the accurate conclusion of what this all means for you personally, what this all means for the body of Christ, what this all means for humanity, what this all means for all of creation, and the moaning that it is doing for the manifestation of the sons of God. I mean, there are global conclusions to draw in every dimension of existence. This affects the future of medicine. This affects the future of education. This affects the future of technology. Like the body of Christ has a very significant role, and each of us has a calling, and each of us has a strategic part to play in the global awakening, in the collective consciousness of humanity, and in the unfolding of the beautiful gospel in its most accurate form. In service to people who have understood the gospel as a message about heaven and hell, and as a message about sin and sin consciousness and all of these other things that traditional just religious systems have taught us, and fear-based theology has taught us. And so this is not just a deconstruction. This is a reconstruction of reality through our perception. And it is powerful, and it is transfiguring, and it is glorifying in a sense, not only to God, but to the gospel and to each of us, in the sense that we are the glory of God and we are a unique expression of God. And as God is glorified in and through us, well, God himself is glorified. And so if these concepts are, you know, are touching the edge of where, wow, this sounds a little blasphemous or something, well, then we know that we're touching the gospel. Because if the Apostle Paul can say, I no longer live, but Christ is my eye, then there is a depth of union, and there is a depth of the collapse of separation where union and the lines are blurred. The lines are blurred. So yeah, I think I can pause. That is what I have for the word of the month for February. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to ponder resurrection reality. It's an invitation to ponder the gospel, to ponder new creation reality, to ponder, you know, to the conclusion of what our complete association and union with the Godhead and ultimately with one another, what it actually means for us individually and what it means for really everything. And therefore, we'll be stepping into the year of we. All right. Well, I love you guys. Appreciate you. And we'll get this out on the podcast soon. And I encourage you guys to share it. All right, we'll talk to you later. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalise's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalise.com and watch Shalise's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.